Around Comics, episode 58. Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the co-host of Around Comics, Brian Salazar.
I'm feeling a bit overexposed.
Yeah.
Put your pants right back on.
Oh, sorry.
It's going to be a prison rule tonight, huh?
Next is our other co-host and the straw that stirs the drink, Mr. Tom Caters.
I would like to be referred to as the swizzle stick that stirs the
drink. Ooh.
Classy.
Class. A nice change up. Nice. And our Monday episode regular and the host of Word Balloon, Mr. John Sanchez.
Monday episode regular.
My drink is feeling naked because it doesn't have a condom like the rest of yours.
What? Oh, that was a gift from
Papercut.
Sent us
a friend Dan.
Cozies.
They have little snug cozies on their beer bottles.
I got the Bears.
Tom has
the Packers.
And I'm the World Series champion.
Oh, all I got was a rock.
I got a McDonald's cup with urine in it.
John, I was gonna tell you, we had people sending us comments about you being on the show, like saying, you know, if Centrist is gonna be on every week, you might as well just be part of the show. And so we've decided to incorporate you. It's now a round word balloon. Is the show? And
actually, I figured it out.
Your dues are
see each other's shows on the website. Today. I know.
Your dues are due next week.
I have to reciprocate. I haven't had you guys on yet.
He's Neil Young. We're Crosby, Stills, Nash, and he's Neil Young.
Yeah.
Dude, exactly. You don't need to have you're going to have an episode with Jeff Johns, then us, and then so you also do a show, and you're like, yes, I also do a show similar to yours, but not as good with interviews. Well, awesome. Next week I'm talking to God, who invented all the comic books, and Jesus. Who inked most?
Who are you guys talking to?
Each other about the news.
Can I introduce our last guest here?
Oh, sure.
Sorry. The artist of a bunch of stuff. Really,
a bunch of stuff.
Like, that's the difference.
The co-creator of Gravity.
The
current artist on Runaways.
No, seven
and eight.
Adrian's back.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
The next two issues of the Atom.
All new Atom.
Loaded Bible.
Loaded Bible. What else? You got a lot going on. You're a busy
Actually,
guy.
Actually, no. That's it.
That's it. We're done?
I'm jobless after
You're
that.
Retiring?
I have a trauma book coming up. The trauma anthology.
I'm working on a trauma anthology.
John is fucking aging. Like you might.
So if you hadn't guessed, Mr. Mike Norton. Mike, welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm on a diet. I shouldn't be drinking this beer.
Now, we had Crank on last week without Mike, and now we got Mike without Crank.
Are you guys okay? Is there trouble at home?
Somebody sent an email that they to us about hearing him on your show, and they they said something about now that puts to rest their theory that we're the same person, and I'm just doing a voice.
But wait, that's not
Crank's
proof
a puppet.
At all.
Crank's
I know.
A radio.
That's what I was. That him just saying that made me think that. I was like, yeah, that's the dumbest theory ever.
He's Jim Shorts. Well, that's a local radio.
Chicago radio.
Yeah,
that's
Chicago radio reference.
Jim Shorts.
All right, guys. We'd like to let everyone know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Athena Voltaire.
Athena Voltaire, the collected web comics coming in December from Ape Entertainment. What mysteries lurk in a monastery hidden in the Himalayas? And who or what protects those secrets? And why is the daughter of Dracula after Athena Voltaire? This 96-page trade paperback collects the entire run of the Eisner Award-nominated online adventures for the first time ever in print, as well as sketches, pinups, and more. Planetary/Authority co-creator Warren Ellis describes the pulp-inspired series as, if The Mummy and Van Helsing were actually, you know, good. Athena Voltaire, the collected webcomics, is available from Diamond Distributors and can be ordered with the following code, OCT-063122. All four issues of the first Athena Voltaire miniseries, Flight of the Falcon, can also be ordered through Diamond. Athena Voltaire, High Adventure, takes flight this December.
Steve Bryant equals the man.
Steve's a man.
He's a prolific writer, if you can't tell from that spot.
Yeah, he can write a spot. I don't know about a comic, but he can write a spot. Just kidding.
So definitely check out Athena Voltaire. And we actually check out some Around Comics ad.
We have an ad in Athena Voltaire.
Go buy Athena Voltaire.
So you can see our ad.
Look at the fucking ad.
22 pages. There it is. All right.
It's added bonus.
Yeah. Right next to the Word Balloon ad.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
No, Steve will be on a Word Balloon coming up.
Awesome. Fantastic. So,
I know you guys have had him on. He's great. But there
it was cool. It doesn't.
Steve, no question.
Steve is one of the nicest guys that I've met in comics.
I don't even think it's an act like Norton.
Well, the thing that's deceptive about Steve, though, is Steve's really nice, but also so quick to turn to just horrible violence.
Yeah, I've seen him strangle
really,
kittens.
Yeah, like that hobo did not deserve
to be gutted.
What happened? Yeah,
set on fire.
No matter what Steve says.
After what Norton just gave me, I'm gonna propose to him after the show.
Man, oh, I swear. Yeah, that's why I'm not on every show, because sometimes Chris creeps me out.
Well, no, I'm saying it's illegal because aren't you already engaged?
Oh, that's true.
Well, that's not breaking the law.
Yeah, but she's leaving him for
she's breaking a woman's heart by saying.
Oh, you're breaking.
She told me
last week that Sal is totally cute and she would date him. I'm like, thanks, honey. Appreciate it.
I can't help it. I'm cute.
I noticed on your blog that you own a cat who's named Marion. Is that named after perhaps someone from your past?
Thank you, John Edwards.
That's the center.
How do you do that?
Stop it. All right, Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. When you're here, remember to ask about Dark Tower's Pull West membership. It's one of the best you'll find anywhere. Ever. Dark Tower has a great selection of mainstream and independent comics, as well as hardcover and trades, statues, and action figures.
And the trades?
We got a good statues and the action figures.
I was going to say, is that Italian?
Walls of
that
trades.
That is a spicy of meatball.
Oh, good Lord. Come to Dark Tower for all of your comics and collectible needs.
And congratulations to the new owner of Dark Tower Comics, Mr. Mark Beatty, although we'd appreciate it if you turned the fucking heat on sometime.
Can't afford it.
Oh.
There's a heater on right next to
it's not good for the comics. It warps them.
Good for the comics.
I'm all right.
Light the 25 centers on fire, but Tom, whatever.
I already picked through. I got all the good ones. If you are confused right now, you might be a longtime listener of Around Comics. And you might have noticed that starting with the previous episode, or two episodes ago.
No, I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm reading this announcement now. We've changed our format, so we'll have two episodes a week, one on Monday and one on Thursday. The Monday one is where we talk about the news and Top of the Stack. And Thursday will be the interview. So if you're confused, don't cry.
It won't always be an interview.
Don't
drop
us. It
could be a Comics 101. It could be just a topic discussion. It'll be...
That's not what we agreed on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
Yeah,
it's going to be just a Tom interview every Thursday.
All right.
So don't cry.
Year of Alan Moore. If you guys haven't gone to the forum yet, you can go and check that out. We started up this little book club over the next 12 months or so. We're going to be reading a bunch of, not all of, but a bunch of the works of Alan Moore.
The good stuff.
I think it's an interesting selection. We're taking it roughly chronologically. December is Swamp Thing month. Read as much Swamp Thing as you want or as you can, and we'll be talking about
as much as you can.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a real sign of how much you're committed to. To us.
No less than the first five volumes.
Well, it's all online, so I could just lie about it.
A lot of people think an iTunes subscription is a one-way highway. It's not.
This is double-edged.
It's a commitment from you to us. You know, you subscribe to us, and we put the episodes out.
Wow.
That's my new take.
When did we decide on this?
I did.
Thomas Sherwin. Anyway, Swamp Thing in December, Watchmen, and The Complete Ballad of Halo Jones in January, V for Vendetta and Skiz in February, and From Hell in March. And then you can go to the thread on the forum and check out the rest of the year's
schedule. Next December, when this is all over, we're going to have Alan Moore discussion on the show.
We're going to take Alan Moore quotes out of context, Have someone impersonate him and answer the questions using his own words.
All right. And, Sal, if those folks don't have any of that fine Alan Moore work, where's a good place for them to buy that?
Shop at Around Comics, www.aroundcomics.com. We have a Amazon store that you can buy all the trades and books and stuff of Alan Moore and also all sorts of other stuff. So if you're going to buy trades and stuff from Amazon anyway, come to Around Comics,
and it'll
just help us out a little bit.
All right, and you can check that out, the new website. Once again, great job redesigning that. Sal, I can say that because I had nothing to do with it. Looks great.
I know there's some bugs out there. Some people are having some issues with, like, if they're running Safari on a Mac, there's some issues and stuff like that. So I'm trying to fix all that stuff as
it
comes up.
I think it's Firefox.
Is that when the kill all humans command comes out of the computer?
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
Your bases are
so I'm working on it, but, you know.
All right, and to wrap up
the announcements, so.
If you would be so kind as to leave us an iTunes music review, be as cool as Andy Parks. And we actually had 5 people that were as cool as Andy Parks in the last week. So thanks, everyone. Appreciate it.
I want to get a shirt that says, I'm as cool as Andy Parks. We're, and give them out the iTunes review.
I think in order for Andy Parks to justify our continuing calling him cool. You notice how confrontational I've become this episode?
I have.
He needs to somehow figure out a way to circumvent all the rules and leave a second, even cooler review.
Under
a
assumed
name.
You can rewrite
your reviews if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, that wouldn't be
I don't know that
would be cool. That wouldn't be like Fonzie cool. Fonzie would never do that.
Fonzie doesn't even know what the internet is. Because he's too busy sleeping with women in like rebuilding
their thank you very much to Scott Johnson, who's just a great guy anyway.
Gawain.
Sir Gawain.
Gawain.
Time travel.
Weidel. Was it Weidel? Rabscuttle, which it was confirmed it's Rabscuttle. It's not Rabscuttle. It's Rabscuttle.
And Piffarelli. And, hey, Piffarelli, what's happening?
And Piffarelli was the 70th review there, so...
you got a Tom Quarters quarter book.
Yeah, send me your
Tom
address.
Cater's quarter book.
Tom Cater's quarter book.
A Cater's quarter.
All right, that will... so thanks to all those folks. That will take care of our announcements. Let's move on to the news.
Wire-to-wire comic book news.
All right, our first story starting things off this week. We actually talked about it at length last Thursday whenever we had Mike's co-host from Crankcast on, Chris Crank.
Puppet.
It is
Mike's quote-unquote other character that he plays.
Most people don't know this, but Crank is actually just Mike's Siamese twin.
He talks way too fast and way too high for me.
They were a perfect compliment.
Well, Full Box Online.
Mm-hmm. Are you tired of collecting a new comic series only to find some issues are sold out and unavailable?
Yes.
Ever wish that you could track down hard-to-find back issues with ease and comfort?
Why, yes.
Ever wanted to get your favorite comics immediately on your computer?
Like a vault.
Wish no longer. Full Box Online is the answer you've been searching for. Pullboxonline.com offers you a large selection of your favorite titles for pennies on the dollar, enabling you to order and download the hottest comics at the click of a mouse. Full Box Online features exciting titles such as Zombie, Feast, and CVO from IDW Publishing, Hackslash, Voltron, and Family Guy from Devil's Due Publishing, Jim Mahfood's Girl Scouts, and Stupid Comics, and coming soon, Nexus by Steve Rude.
Plus much more.
New publishers and creators are popping up weekly. We're happy to be part of Pullbox Online's launch. We're always looking for ways to increase the size of our audience, and digital downloads are a great way to reach new readers, said Ted Adams, IDW Publishing's president. For more information, please visit www.pullboxonline.com. That read strangely like an ad or a commercial, you think? that was the PR release. But
we just do the news.
News versus ads?
Well, we've talked about Pullbox Online last week. If you want to know more about it, you can certainly listen to last week's Thursday
episode. Hour.
What made you think about starting that idea, Mike Norton? Your character, your other character that you play, Crank.
I'm against it.
Nice, consistent.
The next story is Invincible Library delayed. Image Comics regrets to inform retailers that due to a binding error,
boo-hoo-hoo.
Image Comics is reprinting the entire run of the complete Invincible Library Volume 1. The corrected printing will ship on January 17th, 2007, with all current orders being adjustable with a cutoff date of December 20th, 2006. So, yeah, they showed there were some problems with the binding, and they were messed up really bad. So they decided that instead of, you know, putting it out there and knowing that there was a problem and taking care of it, they did the right thing, and they said, you know what, we'll push it back and put them out right. So
I think,
good for that.
Kirkman said in the story that they sent him, like, 12 copies, and, like, what, 10 of the 12 were messed up.
He said, two of them were okay.
Where did you see? You said you saw them?
I saw pictures of them.
On our website.
Yeah.
Oh, they were on your website?
Yeah. Or did they have pictures put it in the...
Yeah, they had sent pictures out with it that showed, you know, the spine
was just falling
The spine just completely.
And they had
come
a newspaper up next to it, so you knew it was from...
with Lee Harvey Oswald.
You knew what day it was from.
I was just wondering.
Because
the first thing I thought to myself when I heard they were putting that out was, how is that book going to maintain its structural integrity? Because they're saying it has like
900 some odd pages.
It's carved into stone.
I said the same thing when they said the Bone book was going to come out, and if I hadn't seen it in San Diego with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed that it existed. But.
I mean, it's definitely an issue when you're printing on something, you know, printing something of that huge page count.
Case binding is expensive, and you know that's.
But you look at like the Absolute editions and that kind of stuff. I mean,
that's why they're $100. Is because
you have to really
imagine getting one of those for like $125, and you pick it up and it just crumbles in your hand.
I work in printing
with Rod Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
You know, I work in printing, and there's nothing more frustrating than getting something all the way to press and binding and having it come back and it's not bound right. Kirkman said it was crushing whenever he.
Oh, I'm sure they're missing the holiday season. I'm imagining. I mean, you know, it's you know, but they did the right thing. I think that's.
I'm imagining
admirable.
Kirkman opening up the box and like picking up the first two, and they look really good, and then he gets the third one, and it's crumbling, and him throwing it to the ground and running to his room and slamming the door. No!
That's what inspired him to write the last issue of Walking Dead. He was so upset, which we'll talk about a lot more in the
next story.
Devil's Due lands China. In 1937, comics forefathers
Devil's Due,
Will Eisner and Jerry Iger created China, Queen of the Jungle, the very first female comic book heroine to be featured in her own title, predating even Wonder Woman by years.
Three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
In an agreement arranged by William Morris Agency, Devil's Due Publishing returns Sheena to the world of comic books under the creative direction of Hollywood filmmakers Bal Arato of The Spirit and Sheena and Stephen E. D'Souza of Die Hard and the Flintstones.
Hey, they both wear leopard skins. I think that's perfect casting. What are you talking about?
Featuring the writing of Robert Roddy with D'Souza and Arato and pencils by Stephen Cummings as well as two covers by Tim Seeley. Nice. Featuring one full color image and sketch cover, the 99-cent Sheena preview special, a 24-page comic book hitting shelves in March, revitalizes and reimagines the ageless jungle icon for the modern world.
Sheena was one of the, fetish dealies for R. Crumb. Crumb was a big Sheena fan.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You can masturbate to her
just like R. Crumb did back in the 50s. Actually, I'm curious, did Iger really co-create Sheena, or was it really more him signing the checks while Will did all the real heavy lifting?
Well, that's co-creating. Somebody's got to write the check, so I don't know.
Put on that jazz music. I'm going to read a Sheena book.
Pretty much.
Put it on really loud so you can't hear what I'm doing.
Robert Roddy's an excellent writer. I'm a big fan of his. I liked when he was writing Codename Knockout. And I liked his Loki miniseries.
Yeah, that was excellent.
And
that was really good.
He worked on Elektra as well.
Yeah.
I think I'm a big fan of his.
Who was the artist of that Loki series?
Oh, that was that painted book. And
that was awesome.
Really good. Really good.
No, he's doing a lot of stuff in Marvel now.
Yes,
he
is.
I can't remember his name.
Anyway.
Right, was it LaRocca?
No.
Wasn't LaRocca.
Was it Salvador?
Salvador.
All right, moving on. The Immortal Iron Fist is gone. It's all gone. It's all sold out.
If you can't get it,
you're screwed.
You can get it at Dark Tower. Mike just got it at Dark Tower.
I was amazed. I couldn't find it this week.
And they're not going back to press with it, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's there's no immediate plans to go back.
That's weird.
Well, let's see.
No Marvel must-have edition.
Interesting.
It says Danny Rand has his own title again, and it's an unqualified success as Immortal Iron Fist #1 has sold out at Diamond. Currently, Marvel has no plans to go back to press on the scorching hot issue. The adventures of the Immortal Iron Fist continue as writers Ed Brubaker and Matt Fraction, artist David Asia, and special guest artist John Severin, that's cool, bring you the next chapter of the Iron Fist legacy in issue #2 after the red hot reaction Immortal Iron Fist #1 received from fans and critics. Corbin Kelly of NewsArama.com said the Immortal Iron Fist is set up to become the next huge title for Marvel fans in the coming year.
I wanted to do the voice. I wanted to do your sound because I think it's like a newscast, so you need some sound bites.
Do the voice.
No, I'll do it for the Mike Carey story.
Okay.
Dude, this is a pre-production meeting.
Congratulations to Matt Fraction and Ed Brubaker and David Asha.
And to Danny Rand.
Great debut. Great first
issue.
Yeah,
it was a fantastic issue.
Lived up to the hype. And I think if you enjoyed the Essential Collection, I think they tapped that same great vibe that you got in early solo Iron Fist.
Awesome. Speaking of early solo Iron Fist, I was Mark Fady. Yeah, he just bought 20 copies of the first appearance
Marvel
of
15.
Iron Fist.
Yeah.
It's sitting over there in a box, and
no kidding.
Scott Johnson said his favorite comic of all time, or one of his favorite comics.
He urged me to read it.
Yes,
Scott, if you
the
like
original,
to buy
you're talking about the original Iron Fist. Stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He urged me.
That's a good essential. I mean, if you know nothing about it.
All right, I'll get it.
No, do it now.
The beginning of Burn.
All right.
Much.
Exactly.
Yeah. Fine, Jesus Christ. I'll go order it right now.
And if you want to hear more about Matt from Matt Fraction, you could always listen to Word He's Balloon a couple of episodes
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, and you guys talked to him.
Yeah, we talked to Matt.
So, but no, it's... Yeah, it's a great book, and I'm really happy. And
but
I
when we talk to Matt, cool. It's just him yelling about the St. Louis Cardinals.
It's him getting really irate
saying
about
he wants
baseball.
To take a big shit on the St. Louis Arch.
But I just, it was so funny, and you know, you take what you read in message boards with a grain of salt. But I just remember so many people going, you know, these creators, I don't know though, Iron Fist, I really don't know if this book's really going to do that well or whatever. And it's like, are you nuts?
Well,
do you know
14.
How many, yeah, I guess they are, you know, because, man, all I can tell you is I've been waiting for a good Iron Fist book for years.
Yeah.
We got teased a couple years ago with a not-so-good Iron Fist miniseries.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see they got the right creators. And
the first
issue
was excellent. I just hope it stays.
I'd say if you're a Daredevil fan, read this book.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Borg 2000 thinks this Iron Fist is lame, but I have to go because my mom tells me I have to get off the internet.
All right, next story. Mike Carey to write Enigma. Mike Carey will write Enigma, a series created by Oscar-winning actor Nicolas Cage and his son Wes, exclusively for Virgin
Nepotism.
Comics.
Nepotism.
I'm really excited to be on the book and to be writing this first arc in at the ground floor, so to speak.
Carey said.
It's an incredibly strong premise built around a unique and compelling character, and it resonates with me on a lot of levels. Plus, it's going to be a blast riffing creatively with Nicolas and Wes Cage and the amazing stable talent that Virgin has put together.
Conceived by the comic book-loving father-son Cage duo, Enigma is a voodoo-laced thriller that begins with a fiery rebellion on the southern plantation during the Confederacy. The story moves quickly to the post-Katrina mean streets of New Orleans, where a veteran detective is trying to solve a series of murders connected by mysterious historical circumstances. There you go. Mike Carey.
It was awesome
of
to get
Hellblazer
Mike Carey on the phone to chime in.
Yeah,
there.
That was great.
Yeah, it was the best.
He's doing a great job in Ultimate Fantastic Four, and I look forward to anything from the Cage duo.
Didn't Carey do an Enigma series for Vertigo?
Oh, I don't know. Did he?
I don't remember that.
Somebody wrote a series for Vertigo called The Enigma, and I thought that was Mike Carey. I could be wrong.
Maybe. I know you got the Enigma Cipher Enigma
from
Boom that's coming out now, but that's newer.
That's not what he's thinking of.
No, this is a long time ago.
Oh, really? Well, we'll have to look into that.
The Enigma.
Investigative reporting from Mike Gordon.
It was a great series. Duncan Fregredo did the artwork. And it was about a guy who, honestly, it was so trippy, I can't even remember what it was quite about. I thought it was Mike Carey, but I could be wrong. It's probably somebody completely different.
That would be interesting. We'll have to look into it.
You're sitting in front of your computer, so Google it.
Well, I'm just surprised that Virgin is doing... They talked about it at San Diego, their philosophy and what they want to do with the imprint. A lot of it is...
Peter Milligan.
It's a Peter Milligan.
Oh, that's why it was trippy.
They said they were going to focus a lot on Eastern mythology, so I think it's kind of interesting that they are choosing a Western mythological character and doing a voodoo story in Virgin. So
yeah, well, you know,
I'm all for it.
The Virgin thing at this point has been interesting just to sort of watch the development of that company and what they've been trying to do. I don't know how successful they've been so far, but
how many books have they released? Only like a couple, right?
They've had a couple books that have done decent.
Like probably half a dozen.
Snake Woman.
Snake Woman. They've
and the Chinese Brother, Seven Brothers.
Seven Brothers. They've had...
the John Woo one?
Yep.
Devi.
Yeah, Devi, I saw.
They've probably released about a half a dozen so we'll far. But, I mean, they got enough money behind them, so...
Yeah.
I don't think they're going anywhere.
Dick Branson is back in O'Hare Airport with Virgin Airlines.
Yeah.
They're reopening.
Nice.
That's true.
Welcome to
Next story.
Officials at New York Comic Con have announced that over 140 artists and creators will be scheduled to appear in the Artist Alley, a popular section of the show which features some of the top creative talent working in comic book world today. In addition, show organizers have announced that George Perez has agreed to appear at NYCC as a guest of honor, joining numerous other previously announced guests of honor, including Stan Lee, Jeff Smith,
Tom
Kaczynski, and Mark Silvestri. Oh. Now, we're going to read all 140 people. And now, John's going to do a funny voice after each
for
one.
For every one of them.
A lot of people.
There's a lot.
Well,
Steranko is going to be there.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, just because it's a local show for
him.
But it's great that he's going to be there. Who surprised me? Actually, I'm surprised John's, because I know John's was saying that he's not going to have that much of a schedule for shows, so I guess DC really wants him there, which is cool.
Alex Maleev.
I'm
kind of interested to meet Alex Maleev. I've never met him.
He's back in New York. He moved back from Portland, so that's too bad.
And us. We'll be there.
Mike,
are you going to be there?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Mike will be there. John, are you going?
I'm still 50.
You're not sure?
I don't have a table.
I really hope so.
But I'll be there.
We can share with the other 75 people that are going to share the Around Comics.
Yeah, we've only invited like 25 people.
I'm not even allowed to sit at our table. I don't even think I have a ticket. I'm just going to New York and hang out.
Giffen, Ron Garney, Ramona Fraiden. That would be awesome. Man, I've been trying to see her at a show forever, and I would love to get either an Aquaman or Metamorpho sketch.
A Metamorpho would be Ramona fantastic. Fraiden.
I was looking at some of the other Chicago folks. Andrew Peepoy is on there. Jason Malay is going to be there.
Kevin Smith and Tom Smith. Is Tom Smith Kevin Smith's like little brother? Or who's Tom Smith?
I don't know Tom Smith.
Anybody know Tom Smith?
Not offhand.
Tom Smith, call in. Tell us who you are.
Who the hell are you?
Tom Smith, who are you?
All right, next story. Heroes is a hit. According to Variety, NBC's superhero-themed Heroes is the top rookie television series of the fall season. The final episode of the fall season, which aired Monday night, was the top-rated show of the night with a rating of 6.5, a 15 share in the 18 to 49 demographic. The total audience for this week's episode of Heroes was estimated at 15 million. I only put that in there to drive Dave Wachter nuts because he hates that show.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to prove how insane he is. But that's
newsflash.
We actually talked about this last week on our show. Talked about how right
what show?
Dave actually
is.
Yeah. But for some reason, none of that bothers me, and I still love it.
No.
But he's right on every count that he brings up.
Well, I think part of it
is I'm your brother, and this is how I relate to you.
Yeah. It is. I mean, there is like a lot of issues with the show, but at some level, it's still entertaining. And I think you had said that on the – it's like you can't pull too hard at the strings on it. You know,
yeah,
you gotta,
and also a lot of rooks that aren't used to things like comic fans are in terms of understanding a giant cast and what everyone's motivation is.
Right.
So you got to like hammer it home every week. These guys are brothers. This is their dynamic. This is why he hates her.
Brother.
You know?
Come here.
And also, since when do we give a shit what Dave thinks?
Well,
Dave Wachter is a you know, come on, he's one of our leaders in
he's
terms of opinions.
Exactly. He is a dude.
He does have opinions.
He's one
that Dave
rude
Wachter.
Dude.
So I'm horrible. I still haven't watched it.
It's great.
I watched it.
It's good.
Catch
it's
up.
Fun. It's just
up,
a fun. You know, is it a
you're not reading Alan Moore?
I'm reading Alan Moore and watching.
When you're not watching the Sandbaggers.
That's a great show, Sal. Shame on your buddy.
Yeah, whatever.
I've been watching Top Chef and reading Helen Moore.
Me too. Oh, Top Chef has been it's been so good.
It's great.
All right, next story.
Fucking show.
Walking Dead.
Number 33 sells out. Am I going to read this? The Walking Dead number 33 is an instant sellout. The most controversial issue of Robert Kirkman's End Days epic to date has sold out at Diamond in less than 24 hours. And to respond to the overwhelming demand, Image Comics is going back to press. In a world. Filled with flesh-eating zombies, humanity must become savage to survive. The issue features ex-lawyer Michonne turning the tables on her sadistic captor, the Governor, who Wizard Magazine named Villain of the Year. Fans everywhere are talking about the latest haunting installment of the fan-favorite zombie saga. And I know both Chris and Tom
I didn't think it was bad. I think this is really weird that they came out with a press release saying
Mike,
that
we're not going to spoil it. You can take your fingers out of your ears. Okay.
When this press release came out, is Walking Dead 33 really the most controversial? Like, it came out so fast, this press release from when it came out, that I have a hard time justifying it as really being the most controversial.
It was odd that it was, like, in the middle of the story arc.
Well, and it's sold out.
And it sold out. Yeah, it was kind of strange.
Well, the only thing controversial about it for me is that I read it, like, 7 o'clock in the morning on the train to work while I was eating a sausage egg biscuit. And I was just like,
That's
oh,
your
my.
Problem, dude. I didn't think it was bad. It controversial, I just thought it was disappointing myself. I just thought it was weird. I thought it was weird that that book sold out. Really? Like...
I don't know. I mean, I think it goes back to conversations we've had before where, like, there's some sort of weird, you know, cult of people that like torture and rape and all we'll of a sudden find anything.
Norton is dying.
Sorry, Mike.
I've only read the first trade.
Oh, Christ.
Norton's like hiding his head in a box of books.
You're
like,
6 months from, you know.
No, but I'm the same way, too.
I was
disappointed with the issue only because I felt that it was just so gratuitous and unnecessary. And I thought Kirkman had really, with the majority, other than maybe two issues in that story, he really knows how to write horror. And there's been two issues that both concerned with the same characters that have just been nothing but gratuitous.
Well, you know, Mike, you may want to plug up your ears because we did have a pretty good post on this, and I mentioned on the forum that I was going to read it, and it was from Bam, and Bam says, I thought the issue was very successful on some fronts but failed on others. What I liked, it was disturbing and actually turned my stomach a bit. Impressive for a comic. Pretty serious vengeance going on, which I found surprising and cathartic for personal reasons. So it was very creative, not melodramatic, as I think The Walking Dead can often be, and gratuitous violence is sweet. What I didn't like. Didn't further the storyline or contribute to character development. It's a big minus. Read too quickly. The Walking Dead is usually a good long read. Wondered if some of the motivation was simply to shock readers and hostile anyone. At least it was a departure from the 28 days later theme. All in all, I think it was a bold move, and I like the issue. Kirkman's got a... I'm not going to read that.
Really sandy vagina, though.
Oh, thank you.
I loved her beach movies of the 70s, yeah, sandy vagina, sandy didn't vagina.
You know, I agree with most of that. My biggest thing with it was that it was just a big payoff to something that he had set up earlier with other gratuitous violence and you know, it's... See, I don't know. I've enjoyed
it's a
that
zombie
series.
Book.
Yeah, but it's not. It's more than a zombie book.
No, I understand.
It's a very
that,
good character-driven story that isn't about zombies. It's about the people dealing with the situations that have occurred because of zombies, and that's what I've really enjoyed with the book. This issue was, like I said, it just seemed like it was nothing more than trying to pay off something that he set up earlier, and to me, kind of cheap. But,
well, it was just seemed.
It's not like I'm going to stop reading the book.
It just seemed really. Seemed like if they go on with this book and never come back to this or mention it, that what happened in that issue
it will have been
had any change or anything, like then it, yeah. It,
that's a
then
good
it's
point.
Very,
that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it could possibly be a changing moment for that. Maybe that character will never be the same again. But if the next issue they just keep going on, I'll be like, well, I don't know. Then it's nothing happened. I'm like, Walking Dead's one of those books now that I don't even get why... how it keeps gaining readers, not because I don't think it's good, but like if you're someone who walked into a shop and that was the first time you picked up the book, like you heard good things about it.
Oops.
What the fuck would have been what I would have said, you know, like it's still a really good story. I just hope it isn't just an attempt to be like, hey, look how far you push the envelope. Because Steve Niles, in our conversation with Steve Niles, we were talking about horror. Torture isn't horror.
Right.
You know, like, I can show you a video of me kicking someone in the balls, and you can be like, that hurts. That's not the same as, like...
Suspense.
Suspense. Right. Suspense. Yeah, you know, like, that's... There's a line that you gotta... If you're gonna consider yourself horror, that you gotta...
Well, I think Kirkman has used it now. It's in... I think he can... You know, that's... we'll look back on that. So, oh yeah, it was the big torture scene, but I think it may go back to its horror roots now. I hope it goes back to its horror roots because I don't know how suspenseful it's been for a couple months now.
Yeah, I think it could fit into a larger story that makes more sense. I think it's too early to say that like this issue is pointless.
Right.
But it's also just
and at some point you have to trust Kirkman because
yeah,
he's got a
he's done
you know, fantastic
yeah,
fantastic track record.
It's just weird that it's sold out.
It is a little odd.
Like, it just seems so odd.
All right, enough about
but
that.
I know, yeah. Well, right. Congrats to Robert for selling out on that.
Well, those are your top headlines for the week. That means it's time to move away from the news desk. It is time for Top of the Stack.
Top of the Stack.
That's right, Top of the Stack. It's our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. Mr. Caters, you usually lead us off. What is your top of the stack?
Nothing good came up this week.
You
no, I'm kidding. I've got two. I have the one
is
that...
Is that my Batman?
Yes,
did
it was on the floor.
That? Give me that.
I there's small action figures. Dolls. I took
exactly.
Sal's doll. My first one, the one that I really want to urge people to try out, is Jonah Hex by Jimmy Palmiotti and
Justin Gray
with Jody Bernay doing the art. It's the origin of Jonah Hex, and all I have to say is Jonah Hex's dad is really fucked up.
He's a dick.
And he's a dick. He is a dick.
Massive dick.
And it's a great story, even if you don't know anything about Jonah Hex at all, you can pick up this story. It is a great Western story with fantastic art, and it's really just beautifully done. It's a lot of story fit into one book as well. There's nothing decompressed about it. If you're concerned about that, you get your $3 worth of story with that.
Is it still in the same one shot? You know, each issue is a complete story.
They're doing the origin,
so it's a three part. Okay.
They're doing a three part origin, but you don't.
Like each one of them kind of stands on its
yeah,
own.
Yeah, you don't have to read the previous one to know how it fits in. Like
yeah,
you could just read this one and
exactly.
You'd be fine. Yeah.
I think each individual story builds on the whole story of how he became the messed up Confederate soldier that he is.
Yeah.
Well, I read the first trade and it was just excellent. I really liked it. But
it's an amazing series, and they have captured that all-star Western feel of, and much like the DC War books as well, of that period when you would do a story and get it done in 11 mm-hmm. pages. They're doing it in 22, and they're telling great done in one
yeah,
story.
It took
yeah.
me a little
gorgeous
while
art.
To get used to the Bernay art in the first one because it was sort of... You've seen so many people now. You've seen a bunch of different takes on
yeah.
Jonah at this point. And it's a very different, more, I don't want to say cartoony.
But it is.
But it is, but it's also very...
It's illustrative. But like Luke Ross has a very
yeah.
realistic style.
Yeah. You've seen...
Tony however you say. Yes, the fine Filipino artist who was the original artist mm-hmm. of Jonah Hex. And Paul Galassi did a
yep.
great job as well.
We've seen many different takes on it in his.
Yeah, if you have a chance, pick up the Essentials, the showcase of Jonah Hex.
Or
great
that first
stuff.
Trade.
And my
oh,
second
yeah,
one.
Yeah, because Jimmy and Justin did a great job, and so did the art team.
My second
yeah.
book, because I don't want to gush about it, because it seems really second obvious
book.
That I would pick. I just want to mention the Justice Society of America number one.
It was
really,
fun.
Really
it was
outstanding.
Very good.
Yeah. Damn you, Jeff Johns, for making me care about those people.
Dale Eaglesham for doing such a great job drawing.
Yeah.
That one panel with Maxine where she cries, I was like, Dale Eaglesham nailed that scene. That was perfect art for that scene.
He and Meltzer like, are going to make they're going to make
a
DC
a crossover,
convert of
yeah.
me. I swear.
Those are yeah, those two books in particular really are good
so
companions
the,
to each other and their tone.
I have to say I'm more of a JSA fan than I am
I
a JLA
think,
fan.
I think the JSA
I mean just as a whole not just like this new series but I've always read both yeah. of those books. Or not always, but for a long time I've read both those books. But for some reason I've always enjoyed the JSA a bit more just because it's that connection with the Golden Age.
Well, what I love is the beginning of JSA, and I'm not going to spoil it too bad, hopefully, for people, but there's a scene with the Trinity is there talking to, you know, the founding members of the JSA, and it was, what, Batman that said the League is always been the quick strike force and the Society has always been the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great way of describing those two
I'm already,
teams.
Like, anticipating the summer JSA JLA crossover that Meltzer and Johns have like planned for this summer to bring back the tradition of the summer crossover from ye old days.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah. And also doing it within the monthlies and not having, you know, mm-hmm. an overpriced collection. Like, and I'm sorry, I thought Virtue and Vice was a fine story. I'm a huge fan of Goyer and Johns and Pacheco, who the team on the book, but I always felt that was a little overpriced, and I resented that because I was one of those kids that would buy them for 20 cents a month.
The crossover.
You know, cool damn set. It. But no, it looks good, and I love the teases at the end talk about some future arcs for JSA 1.
Yeah, so, it'd be very, cool very cool stuff. Mr. Centris, what are you reading?
A ton, and I think I'm in agreement with a lot of your books, knowing what you guys have got coming up. But the one I wanted to pick was Batman Detective Comics, Paul Dini, the great Don Kramer, and Wayne Foucher on inks. And it was, man, if you're looking for a great Joker story, if you're looking for a great Tim Drake story, a done-in-one classic was in this month's Detective. It is fantastic. A great confrontation, and I think, you know, Paul Dini proves again why he is on this book, and he knows the Batman universe and is able to bring out the best in these very familiar characters and a very familiar scene, Robin and the Joker.
In a car.
We've seen it a million times. In a car. And it's a fantastic story. And I give him credit because I think it shows that Tim Drake is worthy of being a strong Robin, and another funny Joker story. And also a glimpse into what was going on
In
52 with the Bat family while you know things were happening in Gotham and everywhere else. So,
well,
I loved
what Bruce Wayne said in that, when he was like, Joker walks into a room and he picks out the person that's most scared of him, and then that's the person he performs for, almost like that's his target then, is to scare that person the most.
Well, it's scenes like that and texts like that makes it such a great heavy characterization that is concentrated in 22 pages. I mean, this could have been, well, maybe not, because it was a car ride, so maybe it couldn't have been a couple issues long.
All-Star Batman Robin.
But really, this is kind of the anti... Boy, I'm really glad you guys said that. And I like the...
Ride in
the
car for
two. I'm the goddamn Joker.
And really, you get a serious dose of who Tim Drake and the Joker are in this book in just 22 pages.
Cool. Well, you think about...
Denny's a master.
You think
he's
about
awesome.
how limited the scenery is in that, and how... They're in a car, like, the whole time, except for the flashback. But how that doesn't bother you, never think, like, oh, God, when are they going to get out of the car?
No.
You know, like, but so much happens within the confines of that. Mm-hmm. And the Joker's also as fucked up as Woods and Hex.
Yeah, absolutely. But also...
fucked up characters.
And Tim Drake, I really felt this was a different Robin. And I liked the slight difference in characterization between him,
it
Jason
showed,
Todd,
it showed
and Dick
a
Grayson.
More complete Robin, you know, not just a sidekick, a character that could stand on his own and get out of a situation and think things through, and it really showed you that.
But learning, but still having to kind of double check himself and saying, okay, what have they always taught me about the Joker?
Right,
what do I need
right.
to do to protect myself against him? But I liked it.
But it's not like the whole issue you go through and you're like, he's doing everything Batman taught him, but then the way he gets out of it is something that only he
would have come up with. That's the twist of the story.
I like Tim Drake. He's a good character, and I think you know, as they've written him, I think he's going to be a worthy successor to Grayson
in 200 years when he takes over Batman
with a gun, like that Titan.
Everyone's
story.
Got guns.
And another book that they're doing one and done's on. You know, it's a one shot story and just excellent stuff.
I'll be curious to see how they all connect, because I know that's the surprise of this Dini run, is that they are all going to connect in
Did
some way.
Did you just
way.
Spoil that? For everyone?
I don't think so.
He said that.
But no, you know, and it's funny, because actually it's not part of the news, our newscast, but it just came out late today that Action is being delayed 1 month, the 3D comic, to make room for another, and because they're pushing it back, they're putting in a fill-in issue with Dwayne McDuffie. And I saw a lot of immediate, rolling their eyes and stuff. I think DC has really kind of done themselves a favor and making the fill-in issues that they do put in matter, and I think... That and in fact, Didio, I just interviewed him last week, and it'll be on a coming a word balloon that you'll probably hear the same week as this episode is out. Didio has said that it's very important that DC find these guys that can really do a great story in 22 pages again.
Well, fans bitch about more? It's like, oh, I don't want. I'm so sick of writing for the trade. Oh, I don't want to see one shot issues. Oh, it's like, fucking, why do you read comics?
Exactly. What? I mean, really, look at it as a glass half full. You're getting good, interesting stories done in one, where you get, you know, oh no, it's, you know, you don't get Freddie Williams, or who actually I forget, I think it was J.K. Snyder, who was supposed to do the art for this Batman.
J.H. Williams. I think Kramer's art in this was amazing.
Kramer's a great artist. He's an amazing artist. Yeah. So, you know.
We're not saying that because he's a Chicagoan.
No, he's a good artist.
All right.
So, anyway, yeah.
Speaking of artists.
Please read classic Joker story.
Oh, Mike. In between all of your drawing, do you have a chance to read any actual comics?
No. I hate comic books.
The only one I read this week was Beyond Number 6, and then I was kind of depressed.
I'm sorry.
Well,
all right.
No whammies.
That's a top of the stack there, Mike. My top of the stack this week was Welcome to Tranquility from Gail Simone and Neil Gooch.
I'm sorry.
It's a Wildstorm book. This was number one. I just had so much fun reading this book. It's basically Tranquility is a small little town, sort of like a retirement community for old and retiring superheroes and supervillains. And the sort of the gist of the story is about the local sheriff, this woman who's the granddaughter of an actual hero, but she doesn't like talking about that much, and just sort of what she has to put up with all these goofy characters that live in her town. I thought Gail Simone just put out a really funny, entertaining, smart story that wasn't just like a bunch of gags or anything. I mean, it was fun as hell, but it also had some great, just real smart sort of nods to Golden Age comics and just comics in general. And also at the end of it, it was like a whole different story starts. You know, it's like you have this mystery all of a sudden at the end of the book. But there was just some just funny moments in it with you know, sort of archetype characters that she has in this retirement community. There's like this one character, Maximum Man, who would used to say this magic word and turn into the most powerful mortal on the planet, but he's so old and senile now he can't remember the word, so he just spends his days reading dictionaries to try and find the magic word, and just all sorts of stuff like that. And maybe I think my favorite part of it was, and it was just a little nod to the old EC comic days and the House Committee on that. She put a little mention about two of the characters were talking, and one of them said, "Yeah, you know, there was this German psychiatrist that tried to make a big fuss about comics back in the 50s, but nobody ever paid attention to him now." Nobody paid attention to him, and now comics are a $3 billion a year industry, which I just thought was a great little thing for her. Yeah, you know, and it's just like, wow. And the art was fantastic. I've never really seen anything from Neil Gooch. I don't know anything about
his. Did he do Majestic?
Was that? Yeah, you're probably right.
Tom, the Fountain of Knowledge.
One time only.
And honestly, at first, when I first looked at it, I'm not a real huge fan of sort of like cartoony art that much. But it really fit the story because it has a lighter, fun feel to it, and I thought it worked really well. But there's just so many great things in this book.
Minxie Millions.
Minxie Millions.
Kind of a Richie Rich kind of riff, like, you know.
I mean, there's just all
Child Aviator.
But really at the heart of it, there's a really good story too. It's not like a gag, you know. It's not like a one trick pony. There's a really good story too that you're gonna follow and really get wrapped up in.
Minxie starts as a joke and then her story gets really kind of sad.
I think
a lot of emotions are going on in this book, and Gail Simone shows you why she's a great writer.
She is a great writer, and it was just so much fun and just a great sort of change of pace for me to pick up. You know, it was a great week for books, but you know, there's so much serious stuff out there.
Ridiculous week for books.
Yeah,
when I checked out,
I spent seriously, so much
it was obscene. Life. It was so great.
Well, yeah. It was.
I can tell you're morally outraged.
I didn't even look at, you know, the Wednesday's list. I forgot to take a look. I came into the shop. I actually missed it. I came in on Thursday, and I'm checking out. I'm like, oh my God, it's like a, you know, foot and a half.
Oh yeah, we haven't mentioned Kari Andrews' Reign. The Spider-Man story that started,
which I heard was amazing, all sold out here
this week.
Sold out here.
Yes, sold out many places.
So. Midnighter number 2 came
out. Oh, that was awesome.
That was really good.
New Universal. If you haven't read it, it was. I really enjoyed.
Starring Gene Hackman and Sawyer from Lost.
I saw Gene Hackman in there. Oh, Gene Hackman.
I haven't read it.
In that
Sawyer Starbrand, I think.
The Other Side, which Other Side number 3 came out, and we'll be talking with
Agents,
Jason Aaron
Agents of
on Thursday.
Can we quickly mention?
Oh
how
yeah,
great Jeff Parker again gives an interesting turn on a character like Venus and tells a very dark story about Venus's past.
All I can say is M11 is like the coolest looking character in a comic book ever.
The best character just never said a goddamn word.
Yeah, he's just like the, I don't know. There's something just so striking about
a classic 50s sci-fi
robot. Yeah, and it's just so cool. He's just so cool.
When I interviewed Jeff, he pointed out what he feels the strength of this book is. Is that all the characters in Agents of Atlas really represent a lot of great pulp archetypes.
Yeah.
You've got the secret agent, you've got the mermaid, you've got
the gorilla man.
You've got the gorilla man, you've got the killer robot, you got the space alien. I mean, it's as opposed to a space non-alien. But it's great. It really is.
Well, yeah, the space alien in this flying saucer. It's not a starship, it's a flying saucer.
No, Jeff's doing a hell of a job, and I'm all for the next
Desolation Jones. Desolation Jones number 8 came out. Mm-hmm. Really
second issue of that arc.
Mm-hmm.
That's my top of the stack as you're rifling
Superman
through
Confidence.
Superman Confidence.
Mystery.
We'll talk about
Mystery
that in a second.
Mystery in Space.
Which you guys are
awesome. I loved it.
I haven't read it yet.
Cross Bronx
wrapped up. That was the
Exterminators, of
good
course.
Good God, there was a lot of good books.
Incredible Hulk.
Incredible Hulk number 101. I haven't read it yet.
In this issue, I think.
Oh, Nightly News number 2.
I think you see how the Hulk's going to get home.
Ooh,
nice.
Quite the teaser, Tom.
Yeah, I think you're seeing. He figures
space
out bus. How he's getting home.
Space cabbie.
The whole thing is him trying to talk some guy into giving him a ride, and he's like, "Well, if you're headed that way," and the guy's like, "Well, I don't know. Like,
he's
I'm not leaving.
Thumb out.
I'm leaving right now, and you got friends here." And he's like, "Well, listen, just wait like half an hour, and I'll split gas
my
with
wife
you."
Will be back.
And the guys swear that.
All right, Chris, what's your top of the stack?
Along with. All of those great comics. There were some pretty intense ones. We talked about Walking Dead 33 and Exterminators. I read those. Last night, and they were just intense. And I needed something to relax with. And Superman Confidential number 2. I was tense after reading Walking Dead. It was a very disturbing book.
I thought you read Walking Dead on the train this morning.
Oh, that's right. It was on the train.
Oh, it was lies. Continuity fucking errors.
So, I mean, a good catch.
Did I just read this
note? I don't think he fucking read it. Yeah. I think he read the press release. And
it's controversial.
No, that's right. I did read it on the train.
It was so controversial. I was blown away by its controversy. Controversially speaking.
Retroactive. I was retroactively outraged.
What was that again? I'll be outraged on a day to be named later.
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. Thanks for listening this week. We'll be back
again
on
Monday.
After reading those, it's like I just need to read a good superhero comic book, and I was what I was in the mood for. And Superman Confidential was the perfect book for that. It was I'm a fool for Tim Sale artwork. I love it ever since Long Halloween. I've been a huge fan, and it's just he has an amazing way of making things. Feel old but really cool. They have a great 50s feel to them, but it's gorgeous stuff. And he is doing some fantastic work on Superman Confidential. It is written by Darwin Cook, which I pulled another book aside to kind of do a dual review. Batman and the Spirit came out 2 weeks ago, which is written by Jeff Loeb but drawn by Darwin Cook. And man, Darwin Cook is just doing some great stuff. Superman Confidential's fun story, but man, the guy can draw too.
Yeah, that's what Mark told me. So I'm looking forward to that. But Superman Confidential, it's an Adventures of Superman story.
We had to thumb wrestle for this for top.
I was kind of bummed because I loved it too. I thought here's a classic Daily Planet Superman story, and everyone complains, "Oh, I don't know how to write Superman or anything." Well, Darwin Cook doesn't have a problem with
them. There.
So
it's,
fuck you. If you're complaining,
it's that great triad
Tom at Around
of,
Comics,
of the Daily Planet. It's Clark, Lois, and Jimmy pursuing a story. Perry White going, "Hey, something's going on downtown." Lois, Olsen, Kent, you're on it.
It's the great. Well, it's the magic of newspapers mixed with superheroes.
I think what Darwin Cook does so well is he has that obvious nostalgic look to his art, but he also gives it enough of a modern, feel to it that it doesn't seem out of place or like campy or anything.
Yeah, it's boiled down to its essence is what it is.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is there you go. I mean, it's what does Clark Kent do? Clark Kent investigates the mysteries that Superman ultimately solves.
Right.
But also,
he has to make decisions. Like in this one, it's like, well, I've got a date with Lois, but I also have to save this village from a volcano.
And the underlying I think theme of the story is too. Because these confidential books take place early in their careers, because Batman Confidential also came out, great Andy Diggle book. But in this case with Superman, it's, am I truly invulnerable? Is there anything out there that could possibly hurt me? And I think we see that, this will be like one of the first times he encounters Kryptonite. But that's the kind of inner monologue that Superman is dealing with, because while he's trying to save this village, he has a moment of crisis where he doesn't know if he's really up to the task and if he's really going to survive.
Yeah. I mean, panic. It's one of the, it's one of the
on the edge of his seat.
It is a real tangible panic from Superman, which you almost never get in a comic.
Well, and that was what was great about, if you like Superman for All Seasons, certainly there's a connection with Tim Sale's art, but I think they're following that thread of the humanity of Superman, and I think you're seeing that, the self-doubt, and I think it plays well, it would have been a nice companion to the film, actually, because I think it really, again, speaks to the core of these characters.
What do you think about the both issues so far? They begin with basically a big hunk of rock talking.
Yeah, well, I think that's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Well, we'll see what's... Yeah, obviously there's a secret about what's inside that kryptonite. It's not just a kryptonite meteor. There must be something going on inside of it.
A baby inside.
Maybe.
A baby.
Maybe it's kryptonite.
Can I say something about... I wanted to say something about Batman's spirit. I thought that was one of the best, like, all ages, fun, old story kind of books out that wasn't old, or it didn't feel old, it was very entertaining and modern, but at the same time it gave you those two classic characters supremely well done. They were just so well, the art was so good, the right, and all the villains,
although it was no Ebony White, and I was very disappointed that Ebony White was not in the book.
I thought it was going to be the first arc of the spirit.
You know what it reminded me of?
You don't have to have him saying, "Show enough, Mr. Spirit." I mean, you could have him being a black character. That's the thing. And I think Ebony White belongs in the Spirit. And I'll be interested to see what happens when Darwin takes over, if Ebony shows up or not. But I think just as Tonto has been stripped away, and Kato in the past have been stripped away from their stereotypes, and you're left with what made them good, important characters. I think Ebony's a good character for the Spirit and could still be a reasonable guy. Dolan is there, obviously, and Ellen, and I love this story. I thought this was fantastic. Is there a rule, and I meant to ask you, Mike, because you're not Canadian, but is there... I remember reading this about Ty Templeton.
You're not Canadian.
How do you feel about Canada?
We've got these two books. Darwin Cook writes one and he draws the other, and I thought I had read that they're hesitant in giving Canadians who can do both, and specifically Ty Templeton comes to mind when he was doing the Batman Adventures, where he would draw one and write the other. And everyone was saying, why don't you do both? You're capable of doing it. You clearly understand the character from both sides. And I know it was some sort of, like, I think, double royalty issue that I think...
I don't know.
You know anything about that?
No, but now that you bring it up, because I was trying to think of what the hell you could be getting on to about...
You don't want a Canadian controlling the spirit.
Yeah, we just don't want them drawing.
Yeah, there you go.
You want an American that just stops.
Like when you go up there, you have to hear Rush every fifth song on the radio because it's actually a law.
It is a law.
Because the Canadian you like they get subsidies.
Per hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, per hour. They want to support.
All the Canadian arts.
Sloan. Yeah. Is the only good Canadian.
All right, come on, back to Canada Spirit,
which you didn't even get a chance to talk about. Tell
sweet
what
Canada
did you like
talk.
About?
No, it was kind of the same feeling. It was just a good, fun superhero book that was. It was well written. It was smart, but it was fun. They were the two funnest.
I'll tell you,
it
made me very excited to look forward to the Spirit series that's coming out from Cook.
Have you read much of?
I have a couple of the archives editions. I think I have the first two, and I've read those. So yeah, I'm a fan of the Spirit.
The Batman Spirit. It was the closest thing I've read to what the animated series, the fantastic Batman animated series. I'm reading this, I'm like, this is the same kind of feel. It's dark and serious, but fun, and dark and serious in that Batman the animated series way, where you didn't feel like you were watching a ridiculous Saturday morning cartoon. It was a good cartoon. And
yeah, well, I think that's what I was trying. I was trying to say earlier is like it was an it's an all ages book. Anybody could read that. There's no you know real violence in it. There's no swearing. Oh, there's no you know.
There's a scene where the vulture is like you know eating some security guards.
Yeah, but you don't really even see much of anything. But what I'm saying is that, but it wasn't written like it's not like it's a campy, silly
it wasn't
book
dumbed
either.
Down.
It's no, not it's dumbed down. It's light. Yeah, but it's extremely well done, and that's what I thought it was.
I used to read the Warren Spirit reprints as a kid, the magazines, and that's how I got into the Spirit. And I think clearly Loeb gets it. I don't know if Loeb ever did those. Remember the New Adventures of the Spirits from the 90s? They had that series.
No, that was.
A while.
I
mean, there were several creators that did that.
Alan Moore did one.
And I don't know if Jeff did one or
I
not.
Don't know.
But Cook was a great choice as soon as they announced it. And I know too Dennis Kitchen, who's kind of the keeper
right,
of the
estate
and kind of making sure everything stays consistent and stuff. I think it's going to be fine. Kitchen was in charge of Warren back then when the Spirit reprints were coming out.
Well, it's certainly a good book, and I know that some people have talked about it as being like the best single issue book that came out this year. I don't know.
Just read it.
It was extremely good.
I thought it was.
Pick it up yourself.
Yeah, I just did.
I think
Mike Norton did.
I think Batman did.
Be cool like Mike Norton.
It's money, but I like the book a lot.
Alrighty. All right, guys. Well, that will wrap up Top of the Stack. Let's go over a few announcements here at the end. Want to remind everyone that your Around Comics experience isn't complete until you've read this week's A Long Box of Love. Each Thursday episode, so here in a couple days, you can check out The Long Box of Love. Brian Bowles does those every week, so make sure to check those out. They are a lot of fun. While you're at the site.
I was going to read it. After you check out The Long Box of Love, hang around the site and fill out our listener survey. It lets us know who we're talking to and how we can make Around Comics a better show. It only takes a few minutes. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. The CPN is a collection of the best comic book podcasts in the net. You can learn more about the network and find more great podcasts at comicspodcasts.com.
All right. Just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays. This Thursday, here in a couple days, you'll hear an interview with Jason Aaron, writer of The Other Side, in the upcoming series from Vertigo called Scalped. And you want to go ahead and talk about our next interview after that?
So. Oh, yeah. Next week, we're having a true legend in the industry, and I know a lot of people throw that word around, but this man is a legend in the industry.
We're not fooling you this time.
Gentleman Gene Colan is going to be joining us on the show, and we'll be happy to talk to him about his long and history in comics. He's done everything. He's done every kind of book there is. He's worked for.
He's a legend.
Yeah, he is a legend.
So that'll be a week from this Thursday.
Correct.
So and then the week after that we've got some fun guests and
it's gonna be fun.
And then we got some good stuff lined up. We'll be talking to Steve Rude really soon.
The Rude Dude
is on his way. So keep checking in to Around Comics. All sorts of fun stuff coming up here. Would like to thank our sponsor, Athena Voltaire. Thank you very much, Steve Bryant. He's a heck of a pal.
Number 3 came out this week as well.
Yes, it is. The listener LCS challenge. If you want to go to the site and download our flyer, we would appreciate it. Throw us a vote at Podcast Alley. We always like that also. And if you can be as cool as Andy Parks and leave us an iTunes music review. I thank everyone for joining us today. Tom, Sal, always a pleasure. Mr. Norton, he Norton's over there getting back issues. Oh my God, is he filling out a poll list?
I'm just looking.
I just look. I don't know why I have the highlighter in my hand. I'm not going to.
John Suntress is wandering around.
The fifth Beatle.
Thank you.
Johnny, always fun, my man.
Thanks, boys.
All right.
It was a nice Eddie voice you had there.
Everyone, have a fantastic couple days. Check out the next episode on Thursday. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around comics.
Nothing.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same, bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my love?